Tracy Kutchker, and this is Artscape. In this show, we cover up-and-coming events in the art sector of Salmon Arm. Today, my guest is Julia Boddy. She's a local teacher, and she's also director of The Little Shop of Horrors, the new production at Shoe Swap Theater. Welcome, Julia.
Thank you.
I'm very excited to talk to you about Little Shop of Horrors today because it is a fantastic musical that incorporates a whole lot of diverse ideas and themes. But before we get started with talking about the production, why don't you tell me a little bit about your background? When did you first start directing theater?
I've been directing for maybe about, 5 or 6 years. Time goes by really quickly. I think it's only been a little while, but it's probably about 5 or 6 years. The first musical that I did was The Fantastics, and had a blast. And Jim Johnson actually was my musical director, and it was just fabulous. And I love musicals, even though I don't really have a musical background. I do love musicals and enjoy being involved with them and directing them. And I've directed some other shows as well. So I've done some acting, as you know, acting, stage managing, all that stuff. I've been involved in at Shoe Swap Theater for quite a long time.
When you were in training to be a teacher, mm-hmm. did you do a lot of drama there?
I actually got my teaching degree at UCC, which no longer exists. It's now TRU. And they did not have a major in theater at the time. So I majored in English and minored and took every single theater class they had. So I took a directing class. I did acting. I did stage craft. I did everything I could possibly do. So it's been a passion. It's been a love for many, many, many years. I've gone to every workshop I can possibly go to. Shoe Swap Theater belongs to Ozone, which is part of Theater BC, which is our provincial theater body. And they often offer workshops, and we go to festival, and there's professional directors there, and you just learn a ton. So it's cool.
Okay, so let's talk about this production. When did you actually start working on Little Shop of Horrors?
Well, we had auditions really early in September, and we've given this play a little longer rehearsal schedule than we normally do. Being a musical, there's a cast of, I've added a couple, but there's a cast of about 11. We auditioned and just started working right away. There's a lot of songs in this one, probably more than in most musicals, I would say. And they're great fun, but sometimes they're solo, sometimes they're in groups, and some tricky harmonies and things like that. So it's we've been working really hard, but the results are fabulous. So I'm pretty excited about it.
We have such a great talent pool in Salmon Arm. Mm-hmm. You must have a lot of great people who have a lot of diverse talents.
Yes, I do. I'm afraid to name them because I might forget somebody. But yes, we do have a lot of, there is experience all over the map, just like most community theater. But there's so much commitment and so much heart in the people that we've cast. And they're really enjoying learning the songs, and they're working so well together. Kim McMillan is in the cast, and he's, I know, involved in several choirs in the community. We've got Michelle Holmes, who has done lots of singing. I know she's very, very involved with her church as well as with singing. So I'm not all positive of the backgrounds of all of them, but we also have an incredible young man by the name of Kieran Rambo, who is playing our music and looking after our band. It's going to be a 3-piece combo with all young people, in fact. Kieran and Jake McIntyre-Paul is playing bass, guitar, and Nick DeCastri is on drums. So it's pretty exciting. Yeah, it is. We're having a great time.
That's great. And it's a really great relationship to build for those young kids to get involved at this age and get all the experience of the other people who've been involved for years. It's just, it's a beautiful feedback.
Yeah,
for them to have.
It is. And when you're working on a project like this, nobody cares how old you are or all that sort of thing. Like, you're all working for the same goal. And I think that's what I really love about theater. One of the things I really love about theater is that it's about the production and everything else. Just, the cooperation and the teamwork and all of that. I mean, there's so much that goes into putting on a play, let alone a musical. Like, all the backstage people, all the crew, the people who are painting the set, the people who are building our puppets. I mean, it's just, yeah, it's fabulous.
Is Audrey a puppet?
Audrey too. Yes, she is. And in fact, she's four puppets. Oh. She grows during the show. So I think a lot of the listeners will be familiar with the story and know that Audrey does become quite enormous by the end of the play. So we're pretty excited about these Audreys. They take on a personality. Karen Heider has been working on it with the other people who have been helping her, and they're just amazing. So that's going to be an incredible part of the play, is the people's reaction to these puppets. Audrey 2, actually, Fred Green, who a lot of our Shoe Shop Theater people that have come to several plays will be familiar with. Fred has an incredible voice, and he's just doing a great job as the voice of Audrey 2. So it's going to be fun. And there'll be a separate person. I hope I'm not giving too much away, but there'll be a separate person inside the manipulating the puppets. So that person cannot be the voice, because physically it is a huge job to manipulate these Audreys, particularly when they get really big, and there's no way a person could sing and do that at the same time.
It's difficult for you to direct a puppet, though, isn't it?
It is difficult to direct a puppet, but there's a synchronization between the voice, and he's able to see the puppet. And so the rehearsal, in that rehearsal process, the puppeteer has to work with the person who is the voice so that the mouth opens just at the right time. I mean, you can imagine. And as well as that, the puppets have movement. They're not totally stationary. Yeah, it's a big job.
We know that we have a lot of puppet masters in the area. So you mentioned that one gal, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
So was she solely responsible for the sculpture of the puppet?
She does costumes. I know she builds costumes, has been doing that for a while. And Scott Crocker, who some people may know through Roots and Blues, also he's been involved with Caravan before, he's been helping as well. So it's just terrific that, you know, the collaboration piece of putting something like this together, because it's a big job. And then there'll be somebody else who is going to be painting the outsides of them. But again, most of it is being done not solely by one person, but by teams or by two or three people who are collaborating on making things happen. So, yeah.
It's like you've got a cast of thousands.
Yeah, it feels like that. There's a lot of people hanging around. They show up all the time. And in fact, it's kind of cool, because we will rehearse as the actors, the music and all of that. And we'll go away after our rehearsal. And then I don't know if it's the wee hours of the night or what, when these people come, but the painters and the set decor people come, and we come to rehearsal again the next day, and something is different or something has changed or, you know, something has appeared. And so it's magical for us right now, let alone when the show actually goes.
Can you tell us anything about, is this particular production, is it relating to something in your history or in your experience that makes it easier, makes it more challenging?
I think the reason I chose the artistic committee, which I'm also on, chose this play, is that it has a wide appeal, for one thing. It's bizarre. When you tell people the storyline, it's quite bizarre, but very, very fun. And I think people can relate to it on like so many different ways, that, you know, young people will enjoy the puppets and think that's really funny. And the music is fabulous. And it kind of covers a broad spectrum of interests and ages and that sort of thing. I have seen the stage production of it in Kamloops when they did it about 10 years ago. And I've also seen the movie, and there is quite a bit of difference between the two. So for those people who know the movie and come to the play, they will get some surprises, because the ending is different and there are more songs in the stage production, some things like that. So I think it's the sort of, when we tell people we're doing the show, a lot of people get very excited, and there's been quite a bit of buzz, it seems, already with just where I go and you know, people ask me what I'm doing and I'll tell them and they'll go, oh my goodness, I have to come see that, because it's a great fun. I mean, it's just pure entertainment.
Yeah.
In my mind.
I noticed that the theater is running the production over 3 weekends this time.
Yes, we're trying something different. We are running it. It's going to be opening on Friday the 15th, November the 15th. And then it will run Saturday night, and there will be a Sunday matinee. Then we'll be dark for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and open again on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday matinee. and then the same the following week. So that is different, but we felt that running it over 3 weekends was a better idea, because we often hear people say, oh, it's over and I missed it. And during the week, early in the week, the houses weren't as full as they always are on the weekends. So we thought that might be a good way to go.
Tell us a little bit about the building and how things are going to work in there. I know you've got, how many seats do you have?
150, somewhere in there.
So 150 seats, great acoustics, very small stage.
Oh yes, very, very small stage. Well, I've kind of taken some liberties. We don't stay on the stage. We spill off. And we're using, we've got stairs on both sides of the stage that we are using as acting spaces as well. And as the actors come down onto the floor, it's actually quite amazing that we're mounting a play of this magnitude in such a small space. But, oh, well, there's a will, there's a way.
I think everybody, you make your own fun, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
People who are creative will face challenges and make something wonderful.
Yeah, that's what I tell the actors. If there's something that isn't working for you, it's called a challenge. And you have to find a way to fix that. So we work together on it. And we're, yeah, it's working.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
What's your favorite song in the whole production?
Oh, that is such an unfair question. Because every time we have a rehearsal, everybody goes home humming and singing the song we have just finished. We love them all. Oh, my goodness. I guess the most iconic is the Little Shop of Horrors theme that the girls sing right off the top.
What are some of your other projects, either just in the past or thinking about in the future? What else are you going to be working on?
Oh, well, as soon as this show's over, I'll be putting my attention on, I'm going to be teaching drama in the second semester at Pleasant Valley Secondary. So I need to start thinking about what we're going to be doing. I've got a pretty large class that is spanning grade 9 to grade 12. So I'm pretty excited about finding something that's going to fit with what we need and want to do. There is interest in drama there, but the drama program has probably not lived up to its full potential in the last couple of years. So I'm really looking excited to working with the kids and trying to establish some more theater, not just an acting class, but perhaps looking at production, which is absolutely necessary to put on a show. Yeah, sort of looking at some different areas to explore as well. So
I know that there's lots of research out there that shows the benefits of drama for students, for teenagers especially, mm-hmm. and especially when you do a production, so that they're experiencing it from beginning to end, from planning stages through the execution right to the end of how you present. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited to see that you're working on that.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, we were talking about before with Little Shop, the number of people that are involved and how you have to work together. And there's nothing I about theater. There's no star, there's no prima donna, because you can't, if you behave that way, it really is not a very, you're not going to have a very good production, because, you know, people need to work together and there's so many elements. And I think for those students who might not necessarily want to act or be on stage, but they really like the technical side of things. There's lighting, you know, there's stage management. Maybe if they have a passion for fashion design, there's costumes. I mean, there's so many areas. Makeup. It's very, very valuable for learning to get along with people, as well as, you know, releasing whatever creativity is in there, whatever, you know, way that goes. It doesn't have to be acting, which is what we always think about immediately. It can be all those other elements that come together, and even for set construction and set design and lighting, and as I said, and yeah, it just goes on and on.
So as a director, see, this is interesting to me. As a director, you have a vision of what you'd like to see, and you're directing people. Do a lot of those people that you're directing have their own idea of how things are supposed to play out, and is that a challenge?
It can be. It's really important to me, and maybe subconsciously I cast that way, but it's really important to me that everybody works together, that you're all working for the same goal. And even though I am the director, I always invite my cast and crew, if we have a problem that we're trying to solve and you think you might have a solution to it, tell me about it. The only thing that I insist on is I have veto power, that I make the last decision. But I mean, some of the things that we're doing on this particular play, as well as other plays I've directed, have been not just all my ideas. I mean, you know, if somebody, an actor says, you know, I'd really like to try this, that's what rehearsal's for. Go ahead. If it works, we'll keep it. If it doesn't work, well, I'll tell you. And so, you know, that I think that investment is really important, or else you feel like, you know, you're just being told what to do, move here, move there, and you're not going to have a play that has much heart or much life to it. So I really, in that, the collaboration is very important to me.
I'm curious about some of the actors, because these people are, I mean, you mentioned Fred Green. He's almost like an icon in our community. Who plays Audrey?
Elaine Holmes plays Audrey. She's been in several plays in the last couple of years as well. Very much enjoying working with her. Audrey's an interesting character. Stephen Hiscock, who is a doctor in our community, he's playing Seymour. Yeah, I think everybody's just having so much fun. Marcus Smith is playing Orin the dentist. who else? I'm going to forget somebody. I just know it. We have an interesting chorus. Anybody who's familiar with the play, there's a three-girl chorus that sings throughout the show, and they are fashioned on a Greek chorus who sort of lets you know what's going on and observe everything, and they kind of have a... They have no restrictions. They can see whatever's going on, and these girls know what's going to happen. And that is Michelle Holmes and Jessica Schiffke and Emmy Sims. So we have another high school student in our chorus, so that's kind of fun too. Then there's some various people that I have added to the cast. There's we've got several street people, because it takes place on Skid Row in New York. And so we have some, you know, interesting characters that might inhabit that life. And they appear off and on throughout the show, even actually before the show. So that's kind of a fun thing that we've added to it.
What are some of your favorite moments so far?
Oh, goodness me. Oh, we laugh all the time. It's really hard for me. All of a sudden, my mind just went blank. The songs. Everybody, whenever there's songs are playing, everybody's heads are bopping and everybody's legs are going, and we all know the words. So it's kind of hard just to keep yourself still and quiet while the music's going on. So the music is great, great fun. Just watching everyone get used to this kind of whacked out world that isn't anything that we've ever experienced. And what they bring to those parts is really fun. And actually, some of the parts are quite physical. I think what's been really a lot of fun is watching people who are playing parts that they probably haven't played anything like that before, and make the bigness of what this show is. Like, it's musicals are different in that they aren't totally realistic. I mean, people along the street don't generally break out in song, and, you know, bands play. And
but we should.
We should. It would be wonderful. But so that sort of, you know, big world, bigger than life, and all the movements and everything else have to be as big to match it. Mm-hmm. So that's always a challenge. And that's fun to watch people kind of get out of their comfort zone and just, you know, really play it up and really have fun. Because it is a play.
Yes. And are you going to invite audience participation? Is there going to be some singing along?
I'm sure there will be people who show up who know the songs, and if they want to sing, that's fine. That's great. As I said, we've got, I don't want to give it too much away, but we do have some characters that are going to be around before the play even starts. So that might be kind of interesting, and there could be some participation, I suppose, in that way. I think it will be a very feel-good type of play. I'm expecting to see lots of smiles on faces. I mean, I do that all the time when I watch the show. It's kind of weird. But I would say there is audience participation in one way or another.
Well, tell us how we can get tickets and where's more information. I know that I'm excited that the She's Up Theater is in the Shugo program.
Yes.
So we do know that youth can buy Shugo tickets at the Arts Center in advance and then call the theater to make their reservations.
Right. As I said, we open on the 15th, and ticket prices are adults are $20, seniors $17, students $15, and children $10. And we do have two Thrifty Thursdays now, where we only used to have one half-price night, which is kind of neat. So those tickets will be $10 on those Thursday nights. And tickets go on sale on November 1st, and we have a new ticket seller. Entwined Fiber Arts, which is a new business that has just opened at 141 C Hudson Avenue. And their phone number is 778-489-1090.
People can actually go into that beautiful store too and buy their tickets.
Yes, which will be a nice experience for them too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And your website?
Our website is www.shoeshoptheater.ca.
People can find out all kinds of things. Your whole season is on there.
Our whole season is on there. Also, our calendar, which tells people other things that might be going on in the theater. There's some information about our improv group and just all things theater. Yeah.
I see that Seniors Theater has started up.
Yes, it has. It has. And it's very popular. It's doing very well. And we're quite excited about that program.
This has been really lovely.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Julia, for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
That was Julia Boddy. She is the director of Little Shop of Horrors, the new production at ShoeSwap Theater. Remember, more information can be found at the ShoeSwap Theater's website, www.shoeswaptheater.com, and also on the website, salmonarmartscenter.ca. If you click on the participate page, you will find a listing by date of upcoming arts events. It's so great talking about live theater. I remember in my reckless youth, way back in the 80s when I was living in Calgary, my roommate convinced me to go downtown to see a production of Little Shop of Horrors. And I was quite delighted. It was not that long after the movie had come out with Rick Moranis and Steve Martin. So I was game, and we got downtown, and we didn't even notice that it was not Little Shop of Horrors. It was Rocky Horror Picture Show that was in production. We didn't even notice that until Riff Raff was out on the stage, and we thought, this doesn't really look like Little Shop of Horrors. Anyway, that's my live theater experience of the moment, but I do appreciate it now. Now that I've got my kids and I can take them to live theater right here in Salmon Arm, it is really a gift. We're fortunate to have so many people who live in the community who are so dedicated to all the different facets of live theater that we can go and enjoy these kinds of productions. So I encourage everybody to go out and experience it. I'm sure Little Shop of Horrors is going to be great fun. Jeanette Clement is joining me now because she has a favorite live theater story to share.
Well, it's kind of a funny one. I was in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat in Kelowna back a ways. And I was the scribe who was to put the goblet into Benjamin's sack. The group of brothers brought all the sacks out on the stage, and basically they were just garbage bags inside these sacks. And when they did so, they didn't leave me enough room to get in behind to put the goblet in. So I had to crawl over the sacks. Now, I was in a tunic with sandals on, and I made it across okay, slipping a couple of times, and I could hear the audience giggling. But when I backed up, my foot got caught on the inside of the tunic, and at that point, I stood straight up in the air and flew backwards across the stage, landing on my butt with a really loud bang. And the entire audience, of course, erupted. The songs kept going on the stage, but I can't tell you how painful it was to get up and keep acting.
It's all about adaptation, right?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Jeanette.
You're welcome.
I'm sure everybody out there has a great theater story, either on or off stage. Thank you for joining us this week on Artscape. You can always contact me through the Salmon Arm Arts Center, but another fun way of contacting me is through Twitter. If you tweet me, my handle is SAAG Curator. So it's like Salmon Arm Art Gallery Curator, SAAG Curator on Twitter. Once again, I'd like to thank Daryl Kaler for being the amazing musician and composer who wrote my theme song for Artscape. Thanks, Daryl. You've been a great help. That's all for this week. Tune in next time, and you can get your cultural infusion of arts events in Salmon Arm.